Good morning once again, y'all. It's good to see everybody. I'm all tangled up in here. Angie, we love Angie. She's one of my biggest fans. How about that? I'm gonna be in Revelation chapter 22 this morning, y'all. If I said to y'all, I'm gonna finish up this message soon, how would y'all feel about that? Hello? Y'all be like, amen, let's get this thing. But the question is how soon is soon, right? What does soon mean to you? Now, when I was a young boy, and when I asked my dad when we were gonna do a certain thing that I was eager to do or go a certain place, when are we leaving to go to the fair or go to eat or whatever? He would say soon. Every time, soon. Soon never came around, y'all. I mean, it was like, man, this never is. Soon, he don't understand what soon means, right? Because soon means like in the next couple minutes in my little mind when I was a child. Sometimes when you're waiting for something, soon isn't soon enough, right? Especially if it's waiting for a sickness or a suffering to be dealt with or handled or get some relief, you know? Maybe you've been in a situation where you've been at the doctor's office or a hospital room and the nurse or the doctor gives you some kind of medication, says this ought to take effect soon, and you can't wait for soon to get here. And last week we talked about the Thessalonians and the church in Thessalonica, and how they had been eager about the news that Jesus was coming back soon. And so much so that they had quit their lives altogether. And they were just standing there waiting for Jesus to come back, and it was affecting their spiritual lives, it was affecting their witness. In fact, it was causing them to start to fade away from the message of the gospel and fade away from God altogether, because they were getting discouraged and then being vulnerable to all the other teachings in the world. When the false teachers came around saying, see, Jesus ain't coming back, the message you believe ain't real. And of course, any logical person would say, well, he did say he was coming back soon and he's not back, so maybe I was wrong. But if any preacher stands in the church this morning, on Sunday morning, and preaches that Jesus is coming back soon, he's going to get some amens. Right? Because we all believe that the Bible says Jesus will come back soon. What we don't know is, what does soon mean? I can only tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean later. Y'all are like, thanks, preacher. That was a lot of help. I got up there early this morning for that. I want to go through Revelation chapter 22, the latter half of it, this morning, to help us, because there's nothing new under the sun. I've said that in Sunday morning Bible study this morning, and I've said it a bunch of other times throughout my ministry. There is nothing new under the sun. And if you've been paying attention to the world at all, you're aware that wicked people are doing wicked things in a lot of places. And they're doing wicked things to good people. People who are not only children of God or believers in the kingdom of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, but also what we would consider innocent people. We like to call people good people. And Jesus says, who's good? Right? Which one of y'all is good? Why do you call me good if you don't recognize me as Lord? Right? So there's bad people doing bad things to good folks in the world. And that's been going on since Cain and Abel, y'all. And just recently, y'all are aware of the things that are going on the other side of this planet with Israel and the enemies of Israel, and not only that, but what's going on with Ukraine and Russia and Afghanistan, and just go on down the list. If we just go around the planet, we're going to see wicked people doing bad things to good folks, to innocent women and children, innocent men also, who are just trying to live their lives. Why am I talking about this? Well, because that's what's happening in our world. It's right there in front of us. We can't ignore it. And as believers, I believe God wants us to acknowledge that things are happening in the world that affect the world, that affect the believer, that affect the kingdom, that will affect what the gospel does or does not do in the lives of people. And I'm also put this message together to make sure that we understand that we have no way of knowing that Jesus is coming back right now or later. Sooner, but not soon, not this soon. He might be back before I'm done here. I don't know. And everything that happens bad in the world is not a time for us to panic and be fearful about the wickedness that exists. I don't like it. You don't like it. We can have what we talked about this morning in Bible study. We can have compassion about those things and the people that are involved, in whichever way the Spirit of God leads us. But every time, almost every time, things happen in this world where wicked people do bad things to what we consider good people, we start thinking about, is Jesus coming back now? Is it time? I don't think that's a wrong thought. I think God would certainly take that opportunity to remind us of the things that Jesus taught, right? Of what we believe. Because here's the conflict, right? We all sit back and say, one day the Lord's coming back, and we all will praise God for that. And I can't wait when Jesus comes back, because we'll be with him for eternity, our Savior, the one who died on the cross. We can be with him, and we can love him and hug him, and he can love us and hug us, and everything will be great in the peace of God for eternity. Doesn't that sound good? But in that same day, we will say, thank the Lord he woke me up one more time in this world. So which is it? Do we want to go and be with the Lord, or do we want to stay here? Right? It's a conflict, isn't it? It really is. And it's not a wrong conflict. It's just what it is. I believe that God wants us to be ready, be prepared for when he returns. And it's going to be soon, y'all. Because the things that are happening in the world are connected to what the Lord said would happen. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm saying it's not cause for us to shrink back in fear and say, where's God? How come God don't stop all of this? It's because this is what was in the plan. This is what sin does to a dying world. The world is dying in decay from the effects of sin. Jesus came to offer us a way off of the sinking ship. So as believers who believe that Jesus is the Christ, who believe we have a gospel message that's absolute truth, then we should be standing firm in our faith and not shrinking back because bad people are doing bad things to good folks. In fact, it should wake us up. It should blow fire across the winds of the Holy Spirit in our heart to make us go and do more evangelism, do more gospel preaching, do more teaching and preaching about our Savior. Because when there's women and children being killed simply because of wickedness, they better know the Lord. They better know about Jesus, and they better have committed their life to him. Doesn't matter where they come from, what color they are, what language they speak. Doesn't matter anything about how they were grown up or brought up. It matters is, do they know Jesus? Right? I'm going to give you Revelation chapter 22 via Matthew chapter 24, if I can. Let's start with verse 3. It's not going to be I only got Revelation 22 on the PowerPoint, so just listen or follow along. Verse 3 says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will happen. Talking about when all this return will happen. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Seemed like a legitimate question, a question that we would all have for Jesus. If Jesus was here now in the flesh, I think we would all say, how is this going to play out? How do we know? So here's the answer in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." I think it's important to notice how he starts the answer off. Make sure you know the truth. Make sure nobody deceives you or misleads you. "For many will come in my name," verse 5, "saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened." See that you are not frightened, it says. "For those things must take place. That is not yet the end." Hello? That's our Savior, the words of our Savior, while he's teaching the disciples about when it's time for him to come back, when it's all going to be over. When God says it's over, that's when it's over. And he says, first thing, he says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be frightened. And I get it. We're all still growing in Christ. We're all still growing in our faith. We're all still working out our salvation, right, with fear and trembling. But we cannot, every time wickedness happens to good people around the world, start shrinking back as if God doesn't exist and doesn't know about it. We have to pray about these things in the way that Jesus taught us to pray about these things. I don't know. There's part of me that says we're praying for peace in those parts of the world where there's wickedness and war. I think it's appropriate. But at the same time, I just read that Jesus said these things have to happen. Okay, so maybe I want to pray that God would have his way in the hearts of the people involved over there. That they would realize, if they don't already, that Jesus is the Christ. And that salvation is needed by all men. Because that's really the Lord's will, I believe. And that's why Jesus says, don't be worried about all this stuff. Don't even be afraid about it. Don't let fear build up in your heart as if God doesn't have control of this world and the things that happen. There's a reason he's allowing these things. I don't like it, you don't like it, and it ain't right. But because man has free will to choose God or to be against God, these things will and do happen. So how do we react? And it says in verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." Hello? Talking about believers. "But the one who endures," verse 13, "to the end will be saved." Hello? The one who endures, the one who does not shrink back in fear, the one who does not compromise what we know is truth just because wickedness shows its ugly face. And then it says in verse 14, I'll finish up in this particular chapter with this here. "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." It says, Jesus said the gospel shall be preached. He didn't say might be preached. He didn't say I hope it gets preached. He said it shall be preached all over the world. That means every person will hear the gospel and will have a choice to make. That's what Jesus has to say about, is this the end? Is Jesus coming back? Is Jesus coming back soon? Let's not be like the church in Thessalonica and have our spiritual bags packed and stop working, stop living, because we think Jesus is on his way back. And it's hard because we look at what goes on in our world from time to time, and this ain't the first time, y'all. Y'all know that. This has been happening throughout the ages. Just study the Old Testament and you will see the enemies of God time after time after time rise up against and mutilate innocent folks because they're wicked, evil people. And God has turned them over to their wicked ways because they reject him. And it's going to continue to go on until the Lord comes back. That's a fact. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be shrinking. As a matter of fact, expect it to happen. Expect it to happen to you. Is what he told the disciples. Don't you think they were regretting asking the questions that they were asking to Jesus? Like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be like that. Y'all realize? Well, let me get into this here in a minute. Let's go back over to chapter 22 of Revelation. This is the very end of the book of Revelation. The very end of John writing down when he was blessed to be shown some things about the kingdom of God. And a lot of people don't read the book of Revelation. They don't study it because they don't understand it and they're scared of it. But it is part of the Word of God and it's got absolute truth in it that we need to know about. And if you're saved by the blood of Christ like I am, you shouldn't be afraid of nothing in this Bible. You shouldn't be afraid of any part of this truth. I'm going to start in chapter 22 with this here, verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. This is the very last chapter. He's getting ready to close it down as he's writing. And he's talking about what's being shown to him in verse 6 and what's being said to him. And he said to me, verse 6, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservant the things which must soon take place. So he's reporting to us through his writing about what is being told to him about the truth of the word. Verse 7, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy in this book. This is what was told to John, and this is what John wrote down for us to know about. This is what God ordained to be a part of his holy word. Jesus is coming quickly, and blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Hears it, pays attention to it, considers it, and lets the Lord have his way with it in their hearts. Surrender to it, the truth. There are people in our own communities that are, not only are they rejecting God, but they're rejecting the truth of God's word. They're rejecting the history of God's people. They're rejecting everything about the Lord. So therefore, their only place to stand is with the enemies of God. All you got to do is read a few articles, look at a few people talking to people in the street, or go into the world your own self and talk to people. And you'll find out that it's amazing to me how many people just flat out deny the facts of what's going on in our world today. Well, it's not happening. It's all lies. When there's evidence, physical evidence, pictures, videos of these horrible things happening, and people are just rejecting it. It's not happening. They're just saying it's not happening. Just because they don't want it to happen, they don't want to admit that it's happening, and if they do admit it, then they have to deal with it, and they just don't want it to be true, so they just say, if I say it's not true, it's not true. That's the world we live in. We're living in a world that's not changed since Adam and Eve. Every man, woman, and child is going to have a choice to make. You're either going to choose God or you're going to be an enemy of God. That's the bottom line. That's what it's all about. And every situation that goes on, whether it's a major thing in the world or just a little thing in your life, it's a decision to choose God or not. The whole world right now is making a choice, yes or no. Every single person. Now, as believers, right? As believers, it's easy to fall into the trap and sit back in your recliner and while you're watching the news and say, all them people are going to hell because they're enemies of God. Because they choose no. But I think Jesus taught us that because he's coming back soon, we need to get busy about preaching the gospel. We need to get busy about reaching those people. Because the reality is all of us, according to the book of Romans, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and every single one of us have been an enemy of God at some point. And somebody, through the Spirit of God and the compassion of the Lord, reached out to us so that we could hear the gospel and make our own choice. It's urgent. Every time we have problems like this in the world that can't be ignored, the wickedness that goes on. It goes on all the time. It just can be ignored a lot of times because it's not right up in our face and it doesn't threaten us directly. And it's some other community it's happening or some other part of the world. Oh, that's too bad for them. I hope that gets better. And we can't do that, y'all. We're charged with going into the world with the gospel. We're not charged with going and evaluating whether there's a harvest or weeds that we can sort through. The Lord sorts through the harvest and the weeds. He sorts through what's good and what's bad, what's wicked and what's righteous. We go and preach the gospel to anybody and everybody who will listen. I've learned, this is my personal understanding, when wickedness flares up like it is right now in our world, to where we can't ignore it. I've learned that this God allows those things, and he's over here. He allows those things so that he can say, hey, look, I am real, and you better pay attention. I am God, whether you like it or not. And if you reject me, this is what it's like. If you refuse to be a part of my kingdom actively, this is what it's like. And then I'm reminded, okay, this is nothing compared to what if the Lord just totally abandoned the world, what would it be like? If the Lord just totally took his hand off of the world, or the planet, his universe, if he just said, forget it all, what would it really be like then? We wouldn't be able to stand it. We wouldn't be able to survive it. You want to talk about gnashing of teeth? Whoever heeds the words of this word, of this Bible, the word of God, whoever considers and heeds to it, surrenders to it, those are the ones who will be blessed. Hello? You want to be blessed? That's how it happens. Let's go down to verse 10. He said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. The time is near. It's happening soon. He's saying, don't seal up the words of God. Don't keep it to yourself. It's not just for you, John. It's for you to write down so that I can use in my holy word so that the whole universe can see it and hear it. And as gospel preachers, all of us who are commanded to go into the world and preach the gospel, we're commanded to not keep it to ourselves. Verse 11 says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. That's verse 11. What is that? All I'm hearing in verse 11 from John is saying, John's just saying, just go say what's true. Go and live it and say it, share it, offer it, keep encouraging people to understand it, invite people to know it. You don't get to say who's saved and who's not saved. You don't get to say who's right and who's wrong. You don't get to say who's good and who's bad. Because the reality is, I don't care what news channel you want to watch, you just turn it on and you'll see a bunch of people that Jesus died for on every side. It's hard to hear, isn't it? Because there's a lot of wicked people in the world. And there's a lot of people that are doing wicked things because they hate God. But I'm hearing in verse 11, I'm hearing in this verse 11 of chapter 22, I'm hearing this verse 11 tell me that it's not my business to sort that out. It's my business to let the truth of God's word come out of me freely as the Spirit of God determines. It's my business to get busy about the business of the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And all these things have to happen. All these things are part of what's going on. They don't honor God, and God doesn't like it. But it's what sin did to this world. Every man, woman, and child will have their choice before they leave this world. Look at verse 12 as we try to move on quickly, if I haven't already failed in that sense. This is what Jesus says: "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." Hello? He's coming quickly, and his reward is with him, to render to every man according to what he has done. So, I'm praying that the message that I'm sharing with you this morning is more of an encouragement and a reminder about things than a condemnation. I'm not trying to knock anybody down. I'm trying to get us woke up to the reality that Jesus is coming back soon. And it's one thing to say it and acknowledge it. It's another thing to live like it. To be about the business of making disciples, the business of preaching the gospel, the business of loving people so that they know that God is real and his son is real. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back. And he's going to reward each of us according to what we've done. Because you know it's not a work salvation, right? We know that. We're not saved by the works that we do, but God looks at the works that we do. God looks at the things that we do in our life and how we make disciples and how we preach the gospel and how we live according to the fact that Jesus is the Christ and he died on the cross so that we can be saved and that he left this world saying he's coming back soon. Are we living like that? And I think if God was going to ask us that very question, it would be like a rhetorical question, because he already knows your heart. He already knows your deeds. He already knows if you are or not living like that. He knows if you're making disciples. He knows if you're preaching the gospel. He knows if you're standing firm in the truth. He knows if you're shrinking back or not. It doesn't matter what you say in response to that kind of question, does it? Because I can pretty much guess that just about every believer who's sitting in church this morning, listening to their preacher, if the preacher said, are you looking forward to Jesus coming back and are you making disciples, 99% of them would say, yeah, amen, I'm doing that. But then I hear Jesus teach and say, hey, there's going to be some that come to me and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say, I don't even know who you are. Because they're not busy about the Lord's business. They're not living like Jesus is coming back soon. They're not every time we see bad things happen, like what's happening in Israel, what's happening in the Ukraine, and what's happening in Afghanistan, and just go on down the list, what's happening right here in our community is just equally as bad. Because it's leading people away from salvation. If the body of Christ doesn't get active, then we have fell short. Get your amen out of your pocket. Get one out. Get the best one you got out. Look at verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's the best one you got? Really? Jesus is saying, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back quickly, and I'm coming back, and there's going to be a reckoning. He's not coming back the way he came the first time. The first time he came with compassion and love for those who were sinners, those who offended his Father, so that he could fix the problem, so that he could provide a way for grace and forgiveness. That's the way he came the first time. The next time he comes, he's coming back, and there's going to be a reckoning. We're going to answer to the way we've been living. And he's not asking what John thinks about this. He's telling John, this is the way it is. And it doesn't matter if anybody believes it or not. You know, these people that want to reject God, the ones that say that God's not real, and you want to try to share with them, and they just keep saying, that's not real, it's not real. I don't believe it. It's not the way it is. They can say that until they're blue in the face. They can say it till Jesus comes back, and it doesn't change the fact that he is Lord. The gospel message, the facts about Jesus and his lordship over the universe have nothing to do with what you think or feel, or whether or not we agree with it or not. It's true, period. Then he goes on, here's some good news. Here's better. It's not the best news. The best news I just gave you. So I'll give you some more good news. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. He just told them what's about to happen. He just told them he's coming quickly and there's going to be a reckoning. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm the one who was here in the beginning and I'll be here in the end, and it's all about me. That's the letter to the Colossians, remember. And then he says, by the way, John's like, here's how you get on the right side of this. Here's how you escape what you deserve. Those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life. You have the right to the tree of life. You have the right to salvation only because of the blood of Christ and the love of God. That's the only way. After that, besides that, outside of that, you deserve the pits of hell. I deserve the pits of hell because of the way we have so deeply offended our Holy Father. You can enter. It says if you have the right to the tree of life, and you may enter the gates into the city. Remember the Thessalonians? Standing there waiting for the God's bus to bring them to heaven, waiting for Jesus to come back. And they're like, hey, isn't he coming? What's going on? That's what they were excited about. It's like, hey, we're going to spend eternity with God. And they quit everything. Well, look, I really do hope Jesus comes back tomorrow. I hope he comes back today. But I also know that there's a lot of people that aren't saved. So maybe he can wait a day or two so we can do some more work. Maybe. You know, we pray all the time about our loved ones and our neighbors and our friends, and we get excited when somebody comes up and says, I want to be saved, and we get to baptize them into Christ as the Bible tells us to do, right? It's an exciting moment because somebody's getting saved. Because they're missing the death that they deserve. The reality is not everybody's going to get saved. I'm almost done, y'all. I'll be done soon. Verse 15, look at it. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. There is a common belief that is growing in the world today in all different generations. And their idea is that they're saying that if you just leave people alone and stop trying to force them to obey laws and do the morally correct thing, people will, they believe that 90%, 99%, 95%, somewhere in that percentage range, most people will do the right thing if you just leave them to their own self to decide. There is nothing in this scripture that agrees with that. And any person who can sit down by themselves with God and do a personal evaluation about how they live their life will come to the conclusion that they don't do that. We don't always do the best thing, the right thing, the morally correct thing. We don't. We need some accountability. We need some authority to get us where we should be for the reasons that God created us to be that way. The reason Jesus died on the cross so that we could have an opportunity to find our way there in Christ. But y'all, there are bad people in this world, wicked people, who have no desire whatsoever to know God, to acknowledge God, to surrender to God. In fact, so much so that they hate God with all their being and everything about Him. And I'm just going to say this. We ought to be praying for those people. We ought to ask God to somehow soften their hearts, somehow reach them with the gospel. Because even Saul was doing wicked things to innocent people at one time in his life, and God broke his heart. It can happen. And at the same time, I don't expect some of those dogs and sorcerers and immoral people to ever repent. That's me personally. That's my limitations. I know God can change anybody. I know God can get anybody's attention. He can soften the hardest heart. But as we discussed in our Bible study this morning, I don't always have the ability to see what God sees in a person. So what do we do right here in this part of the world while wickedness goes on all around us? Do we sit back and lament or complain or talk about how horrible people are? Or do we sit back and say, how do we engage in this community so that maybe somebody might hear the gospel one more time before it's too late? How do we spend our time every day praying for people and getting engaged in what goes on around the world? There's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of ways to get involved in what goes on in the world in ways that are helpful. But if we're not sharing the gospel and we're not preaching the truth and we're not standing firmly and boldly without fear in the face of wickedness, then we'll fail. All right, what I read? Verse 16 now. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. So he's saying, I'm telling you, John, these things so that you can share them with the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He's telling John, I am the Christ. I am the one that was promised in Genesis chapter 3. That's what he's saying. And John knows what he means. And when John writes it down, all the rest of the believers, all the rest of the people that read it would know what he meant. Verse 16 is saying, Jesus is just saying, I am the Christ. Period. Verse 17, it gets really good. I'm glad you saved your amens up because this is getting good. Look what it says. After Jesus proclaims himself to be Christ, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the ones who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Let's break it down. Let the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's y'all, that's the church, say, come. Come is a word that is an invitation, right? That's an invitation. Hey, why don't y'all come? Why don't you hear this? Why don't you consider that? This is a description of the church, the body of Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel about Jesus, who is the Christ. And then he says, let the one who hears say, come. In other words, those of us who have ears to hear and have heard the gospel and have been saved by the blood of Christ, let us also go and say, come and hear this. This verse 17 is like, it's almost like the entire Bible in one verse. And then he says, let the one who is thirsty come. Those are the people in the world who are looking for truth. They're looking, is God real? Is he who he says he is? Is the Bible truth? Is this all something I need? We used to call them seekers in the 80s. We call ourselves a seeker-friendly church. I don't know. I prefer the church. That's what I prefer. Are we living our life and talking to our friends and our neighbors and strangers even? Are we doing things that are inviting people to come and hear the gospel? Not come to church. Just hear, come and hear, come and listen to what I know about my Savior. Let me tell you why I believe. Let me tell you why I've surrendered. Let me tell you why I'm not going to shrink back and give in to the ways of the world. In case you're interested. And by the way, when you talk like that to people, they'll let you know if they're interested or not. There won't be no doubt in your mind whether they're interested or not. Because if they're not interested, they will shut you down. And that's all right, because God's the one that sorts it out. Hello? He said, let the wicked be wicked and the righteous be righteous. You just go about the Lord's business. Then he says, let the one who wishes, look, this is salvation preaching right here. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost, y'all. It don't cost you anything to get saved except for your own kingdom. Surrender yourself. Give it up. Give up the right for anything to be about you and what you think. All right, we're gonna close it. We're closing it down. We're shutting it down. We're circling the runway. Here we go. I'm close, y'all. I testify, verse 18 and 19, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. You've heard this before. Verse 19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the city, from the holy city, which are written in his book. And the simplest way to understand this is not that if I'm trying to explain and using different language words or different translations or anything like that, it's not it. John is saying that he's been instructed to instruct us to go into the world and preach the gospel because Jesus is coming back. There is no need to add to the gospel. There's no need to take away from the gospel. There's no other truth that needs to be happening but the truth of this word. It's so powerful. It's enough. It's plenty. And if somebody doesn't get saved, it doesn't mean that the gospel isn't what it is. If somebody's not hearing it, it doesn't mean we got to add to. It doesn't mean we got to make it softer. It doesn't mean we got to tweak it a bit. No, it is what it is. Jesus is Lord, and he's our Savior, and we're all sinners, and we need him. Moving on. Last two verses, and then we'll be done. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The believer, this is talking about all believers, should be talking about all believers, those who genuinely believe. He says, what did I say? How did I go backwards? Here we go. Okay, verse 20. He who testifies to these things, and he who testifies are those who are living for Jesus. The Spirit of God is in your heart. The Spirit of God is leading you. The Spirit of God is having his way in your life. Jesus, you're all about Jesus. You're covered in the blood of Christ, and you're a witness for the kingdom. Those are the ones who testify to these things. And your entire life says, yes, Jesus is coming soon. And it says it to the whole world. Your entire life is a life that just simply says amen to the gospel message. Not only that, but we agree with it so much that we're saying, yeah, come back, Jesus. Come today. Come when it's time, come. We welcome your presence. And then he finally closes with the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Jesus is coming back, y'all. Soon. He's coming back soon, and he's coming back for you and for me, for those of us who are believers. Coming back for his bride. Right? Not only is the bride to be busy about preparing herself for the groom, spiritual growth, growing in your faith, growing in your knowledge of God and our Savior, growing in your boldness and your strength, but we're to be busy about the business of the kingdom of God, which is making disciples. We're to be busy until Jesus shows up. If we're not doing that, we are falling short and we are in danger of not being who we think we are. So when we see things that are going on around the world, heartbreaking things, hard to absorb things like what's going on in Israel and Ukraine and Pakistan and whoever, Afghanistan, all of that, just name it. When we see it and it's hard to absorb and we get mad about it and we have emotions that are normal, some point or another we have to let the Spirit of God move us to a place where we stand firm in what we're about. And it should be a reminder, say, you know what? I got to make sure I'm busy about what's going on here. Because if we think all that mess won't come to this part of the world, we're not paying attention. If we think that one day we might be in danger of leaving our house and being killed just because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're fooling yourself. And you're not paying attention. We're so spoiled, y'all. We're so spoiled in this part of the world. We've just never faced it. We've just never had to look at it. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned as if God doesn't know or he can't do nothing about it or he's not involved. No. If anything, we stand up firm and we say, you know what? God's got this. God is involved. God is doing something here. And we pray for the Lord's will to be done all around the world. And we pray for those people who are enduring hardship and wickedness and suffering. We pray for God to give them strength and peace in their heart and in their mind. If they're believers, that they would stand firm in what they believe. If they're not believers, that maybe they would realize that God is real. And this wickedness that's coming upon them would get their attention and say, okay, I surrender to the Lord. Whether they be killed or not. And then, yeah, we pray for peace in those places. We pray for God to do something to relieve some of that. Knowing that Jesus is coming back soon. I love you and the Lord loves you. Let's sing an invitation. If you're not saved, you're missing out. You're not only missing out, you're already dead. You're already in trouble because you don't know the Lord.